pray you do. You ought to always go to the house of the Lord with the Word of God. The book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. We've had two messages thus far in chapter number one. Tonight we start chapter number two. We're preaching a series of messages out of this book, and it looks as though there'll be some eight or nine messages when we get through, just taking some things as we come to them and trying to preach through this book and have the teaching that God would have for us out of the blessed Word of the Lord. The first message we looked at was that a forgotten love, how that we find that they had forgotten that the Lord had loved them and that the Lord had given them all the things of their needs and of their life. And then tonight in chapter number 2, we begin in verse number 1, and at the very first we find that the message we'll know, we can notice who the message is for. It's a message that is for the priest. In Malachi chapter number 2 and verse number 1, it says, "And now, O ye priest, this commandment is for you." So we don't have any trouble figuring out and knowing who the prophet is speaking to here in this chapter. And he's speaking to the priest. "Now, O ye priest, this commandment is for you." Now let's notice here what he has to say in verses 2 through 9. "If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. And the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law." Now that's reading verses 1 through 9 of the message to the priest. Now we found last week that the message to the priest began in chapter number 1, and this is a continuation of that message. But the Lord starts out in verse number 1 and says he wants them to know particularly that this commandment is to the priest of Israel. Now we're going to be speaking tonight on the subject, when leaders go bad. Now it's a terrible thing when leaders go bad, because as a leader goes, so go the people that follow. Whatever direction you'll find in the Old Testament, whatever direction the judges went, that was the direction the people went. You'll find in the nation of Israel, the different kings that they had, if Israel had a good king and did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, then the people fell right in line and they did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But if they had a king, or if they had a leader, if they had a judge that was wicked and did not do right, and the Bible says did wicked in the sight of God, you'll notice that as the king did, so did the congregation, or so did the people. And now we've come not to a king, but we've come to the priest, the office of the priesthood, which the Lord had given. And we'll look a little bit about the history of that in a few moments. But now we've come to the office of the priest, and we note that it's much more dangerous for a priest to go bad, or a religious leader to go bad, than it is for a political leader to go bad. Because politics doesn't save you to begin with, but salvation comes from the Lord, as we noticed this morning. And it's a terrible thing for someone that is in a place of authority and a place of leadership. It's a terrible thing for them to go bad, because as they go bad and as things progress and you see the underlying problems that's in their life, you'll find that it destroys many, many people. And I'm talking about this word that we hear much about, the word of apostasy. Now, I looked up that word apostasy. It just simply means to abandon the faith that was once held to as truth and then to speak against it. And so when we think of apostates, or we think of people that once held the truth, once knew the truth, once spoke the truth, at least in a one particular way or another, and then they have turned their back on that truth and they've gone the other direction. And the Bible gives illustrations of men that have done that. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter number 2, in verse number 1, it says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many," now notice this, "and many shall follow their pernicious ways." Here are the leaders, and here are the followers. Now, in any group of people that you have comes together and assembles together, there's always some that are the leaders. There's some folks that just, it just comes natural to them to be in the forefront and to be in leadership. And there are some folks that they just can't be leaders. They don't have that ability given to them, and they have to be followers. Nothing wrong with being a leader, nothing wrong with being a follower. There's nothing wrong with being a leader if a person's the right kind of a leader. I find sometimes that there are leaders, but they are wrong leaders, and they lead people in wrong direction. And here we find in 2 Peter that there are false prophets. Speaking in the religious realm, there are those that will lead people wrongfully and in the wrong way, and by doing that, they bring about damnation upon them. The Bible says here, "And through covetousness shall they with feigned," or that's fake words, "make merchandise of you, whose judgment not of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Now if you turn over to the book of Jude, where we noted some things this morning, we find again this work of apostasy, or the apostates that once held to the faith and then turned around, turned their back upon that and spoke wickedness and spoke against it. In Jude, only one chapter, in Jude verse number 8, it says, "Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. They which know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. And they've run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward." You ought to underline those two words. Balaam, all he was interested in, and we'll be looking at his life just in a few moments, but all that Balaam was interested in was for reward. He wanted something that the people could give him. And it says they've greedily ran after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, when ye feast with you feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raving waves of sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now here we find the apostates, those that know the truth, but they hold the truth, according to the book of Romans chapter 1, in unrighteousness. They are wrong in their teaching, they're wrong in their dealing, they're wrong in their leadership, and therefore brings about a rebellious heart among the people. Now back a few years ago, there was a man in California, and he supposedly gave lip service to the things of the Lord. When I call his name, you will recognize, you'll remember him. He was of a particular denomination, and he left that denomination and started his group, his own cult. And he had many followers. And he moved his church from California and moved down to Ghana. And there he led multitudes of people in what was called a suicide pact. And some over 900 people died because of one man's word. Now there is the result of a leader going bad. I looked in my files and someone said, why do you keep everything? Well, I keep it so I might look at it again. I have my hand some newspaper clippings. They're beginning to turn yellow and beginning to turn very old. And We find here, this was the Kentucky Press, November the 20th, 1978. The headline, it says, 400 dead in suicides and murder. We first heard the news of what Jim Jones' cult and that crowd had done. The world was shocked that a man could lead so many people down the wrong road. You know what happened? There was a leader there that went bad. Personally, I think he was bad to begin with, but openly, he went bad, and people followed him. And there is the tragic result of leadership going wrong and going very bad. So the death toll there at the very first, I believe that happened on the 19th. That was the headlines on the 20th, 400 people. And then you have here, it says death toll at commune expected to hit 800. So it went from 400 to 800. And this was on the, this was on the 23rd. So just a few days later. And then I have one here that says death toll, how they remember Jim Jones, and the death toll over 900 people. Just on the word of one man that something clicked, something went wrong, something was wrong, but yet he was a leader of a group of people and led them from one place and led them to California, and then they packed up their bags and went to another country. And when some officials came to examine what was going on there, they murdered four of those people, including a senator from California, and then they killed themselves, and then Jones drank the same Kool-Aid they did, and he died. Oh, that's a tragic thing, but that's the result of when a leadership goes bad. And we find here in Malachi that the priest had gone bad. We'll find here that God had given them what they should have done, but then he tells them what they were. We find that not only are there folks like Jim Jones, but just recently we've heard all the affairs of the Bakers and the Swaggards and all that other crowd. And by the way, Baptists are not immune from that. You hear things all across the nation that leaders and people in authority are going and they're gone against the word of the Lord. And when that happens and when that comes about, then the result of that is those that follow them are simply, to the point that they don't know what to do. And many folks, when that particular person or that particular leader, when he goes bad or she goes bad, then they're just at odds. They don't know what to do, and many times they don't ever do anything else. You know why? They found the wrong leader. They found the wrong person. And we never, never should we get to the point that we follow an individual more than we follow God. Never should we get to the point that we follow a preacher more than we follow the Word of God. I don't know how some people do it. I'm glad I don't have that power. But some people literally at their word can get people to do just exactly, just like click, 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 clockwork, what they want them to do. I'd rather have the Lord speak to us, and I'd rather have God help us and get us into the thing as for me to have that kind of authority. I don't want that. But we better never let someone direct us in such a way that it's in opposition to the word of the Lord. Now, this is what was happening here in the time of Malachi. This was what was happening here to the people and to the priests. They had gone the wrong direction, and bad leadership always will result in bad fellowship. In our text, the priests had gone bad. What happens? Well, I want us to examine tonight the office of the priest and note some things here, what God says in his word, and see here what happened to these that are the priests. Because verse number 1 says, "And now, O ye priest, this commandment is for you." First of all, I want us to notice the covenant of the priesthood in verses 4 through 7. The Bible says in verse 4, "And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord." Now, I looked up that word covenant. It's a Hebrew word. If we used to put it in English, it'd be pronounced berith or bereth. It just means to make an agreement. It means to enter into contract. Now, God had entered into contract with the people and the tribe of Levi. Now, to understand this, we've got to go back to the Old Testament and see what we found in the book of Exodus, chapter number 32. I want to show you why God found favor, or why Levi rather found favor with the Lord. Well, I believe we find it in Exodus chapter number 2 and verse number 26. It says, "And Moses stood in the gate of the camp." Now, there's that word again, in the gate. It means a place of authority. It means a place of understanding, a place of judgment. "And Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, 'Who is on the Lord's side?'" Now you'll notice here, he says, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Now notice who came to Moses when he made that statement. I'd never noticed that until I studied for this week. And it says, and all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, going out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, slay every man's brother, every man's companion, every man's neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. Now when Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? Immediately all the people, all the tribe, the children of Levi came, and they gave recognition that they wanted to be on God's side. And I believe because of that, God gave them a blessing. God gave them a special place. And you'll find that in the book of Numbers, in Numbers chapter 1. You'll find that God takes the tribe of Levi and he makes them the priests. That tribe of Aaron, the tribe of Levi, God places them not as all the other tribes. When they went over to the other side of Jordan, God gave every one of them a portion of land, but he didn't give anything to Levi, because they were to live off of the things that were brought in from the other tribes. They were God's tribe. They were God's priest, and they were to live off of the things, the goods, the tithes and offerings, you might say, of what the people of Israel brought into to the tabernacle, and then later into the temple. And so Levi had a particular place, that tribe, because God saw that they wanted to follow him. And he sets them aside for the purpose of being the priest. No one else could have the office of a priest other than of the tribe of Levi. Now in Deuteronomy chapter number 10, let's notice here. In Deuteronomy chapter number 10, verse number 8, it says, at that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister unto him, and to bless his name unto this day. Now Levi had a particular purpose in the economy of the nation of Israel. They were not given a land, they were not given a field, they were not given a place to, in order that they could make a living. They were to live off of God. They were to live off of God's people. And so we find that the priesthood and the covenant that God made was between God and the tribe of Levi. Now we come again back to Malachi. O ye priests, this commandment is for you. Who's he talking there? He's talking to those of the Levite tribe. He's talking to those that were the priests. He's talking to those that had followed down line through the centuries, through the years, that had the authority from God to be the priest. And he tells them here that, you know, I have set this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Now in verses 5, 6, and 7, you have here the marks of an ideal priest. Now notice here what God says, my covenant was with him. Notice it was a covenant of life, and it was a covenant of peace. He says here, and I gave to them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. Now notice here, the law of truth was in his mouth. There is the authority that God gave to the Levites, to the priests, that the law of truth would be in his mouth. And when he spoke, he was to speak the law of truth. When he was to stand and proclaim, he was to stand and proclaim the message of God. We find that God tells the ideal priests that they were to fear God. They were to walk with God. They were to speak for God. They were to be a witness to others. They were to study and proclaim the word of the Lord. It says here, the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He was to be a person. The priests were to be people that were totally separated from the world, or to be different, that the iniquity of the world would not be in their heart. And so God gives them the ideal marks, or the marks of an ideal priest. They were to be a different people. And folks, today we as Christians, we are to be an ideal people. We're to be a different people, because God has made us kings and priests unto himself. Every one of us, we believe in the priesthood of every believer. And by that we simply mean that I have the authority to go to God and take him my petitions. I don't need a priest. I am a priest. Amen. Neither do you need me or some other man. You are, if you're saved, the Bible teaches that you are a priest unto God, and that you have that authority to go to God and take your petitions to him and bear them to him and say, God, I need your mercy. I need your help. I need your answer. You have that authority from the word of God, because the Holy Spirit lives within you and he's given you that authority. We are priests unto God. And so we find that as the Old Testament priest was to fear God, we are to fear God. As an Old Testament priest was to walk with God, I believe we are to walk with God. As an Old Testament priest was to speak truth, so are we to speak that same truth that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Old Testament priest was to be a witness to others, so are we to be a witness to others. As an Old Testament priest was to study and proclaim the Word of God, so are we to do that very same thing. Immediately, I guarantee you, when I say the word priest, we think, our minds go to what we think of as a priest. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Levitical priesthood. Yes, they were a different group. But in this New Testament economy and age in which we live, we are that priest. We don't have to have someone with their collar turned backward. We don't have to have someone that supposedly lives in a place and in a way that is so foreign to everything that he's supposed to be a little more holy than somebody else. But we are the priest unto God, and we can go to God, and we are to do that in accordance to the word of the Lord. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many from iniquity. The work of a priest was to turn folks from iniquity and turn them to the Lord. The work that we have tonight is to preach and to teach and proclaim the message of salvation and turn people from iniquity and turn them to a living and true God. We're to teach them and show them that to turn from idols and turn to a living God. To turn from that which is dead to that which is living. To turn from that which is rotten and wrong and sinful and idolatrous and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's what repentance is. It's a turning. It's a turning to the Lord. And when you turn to the Lord, you turn your back upon that which the world has. That's repenting and turning to the Lord. You'll never find someone turning over a new leaf and then repenting. No. You repent to God, then God takes care of your leaves. He'll take care of your life. And He'll take care of the wrong things. So we find here that the covenant that God talks about here is a covenant between God and man. And I'm glad we have a covenant also. And that covenant was sealed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has made an agreement with us. He has made a, and we've entered into contract with the Lord, and therefore we are to fear God, we're to walk with God. But this commandment was given particularly to the priest of Levi. Now in verses 8 and 9, we find the corruption of the priesthood. Here we find the prophet guts down to the very heart of the burden of the word of the Lord. If you would, turn back to chapter 1, verse 1 there in Malachi. It says, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. There was a burden upon his soul. There was a burden, there was a heaviness upon Malachi's heart because he had seen all the problems in Israel, how that the people had gone against God, how that the priest had turned their back upon the Lord, and that was the burden of the word of the Lord. And now in this verse, in verse number 8 and verse number 9, we find that he gets down to the very heart of the problem. Now remember, the series we're talking about is when is God speaking to a corrupt nation. And what makes a nation corrupt, first of all, is when the priests or when their leaders or when the people of God go the wrong direction, so will everything else go wrong. America has gone wrong tonight, not because of politics, but it's because of so-called Christians. America's in the trouble she's in tonight, not because of the infidels or the atheists, but America's in trouble tonight because of Christians that have gone wrong and turned their back upon Him. And we find here that the prophet gets to the heart of that, and he gets right down to the accusation and gets to the point, and he tells here very quickly that the priests are the culprits in the problem here of Israel. Notice verse number 7, it says, his lips should keep knowledge. They should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord. That's what a priest is. But now look at verse number 8. But. You ought to circle, underline, put a star by something, that word, but. Verse 7 says what they should be. Verse 8 says what they are. The Word of God tells us what we should be, but I'm afraid our lives do not measure up, and we find out we're really falling very short. It says, but ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of what? Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Now we find here the corruption of the priesthood. He gets and points out the very accusation. There's three areas here where the leaders or where the priests of Israel went bad. And this is the very main part of the message, and I want us to understand it. In verse number 8, we find, first of all, that they departed from God's way. Anytime that a person departs out of the way of the Lord, you get ready because corruption is going to follow. Anytime a person turns his back upon God, there's wickedness in his heart. Anytime a person gets out of the way, the Bible says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. Oh, folks, we need to be in the way of God. We need to be in the work and the walk of Jesus Christ and following the steps and the footprints of the Lord. But when we get out of the way, when we get out of the place that God has for us as these men, the Bible says, ye are departed out of the way. When we get to there, you can just put it down that corruption and wickedness and sinfulness is going to follow. When a leader gets out of the will of God, you can just watch it. The rest of the crowd will follow. When leaders go bad, countries go down to nothing. When leaders, I've seen churches that were strong and profitable and doing the work of God, and they get the wrong man in, all of a sudden they're doing just exactly what that man wants to be done. They leave the principles of the Word of God. And it may not happen overnight, because the Bible tells us that the devil has those in that creep in unaware. And they plant their seed of discontent, and they plant their seed of not knowing and not wanting. They plant their seed of unconcern and all of those things. And all of us gradually, you lose the fiber. Gradually you lose the vitality of the church, and you lose that vim and vigor. You lose the doctrines of the Lord, and you begin nothing more than to be a social club. And we have gone through that in our country. We've seen church after church. They've got to the point that all they want to do is feed the poor, and there's nothing wrong with feeding the poor. But you better give them the Word of God first. We have bread for the world, and we have little banks and all that stuff that want to feed the world, but we need to give them the Word of God, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have people that all they want to do is to go and to help people physically. Well, that's well and good, but we better take care of some things spiritually first. Well, folks, I want to go start hospitals and go start this and go start schools and go do that. Just go and preach the Word. That'll take care of their need. When a priest or when a leader goes bad, then you'll find the direction of the people going bad. Corruption of the priesthood. They had departed from God's way. Spiritually, they had gone the wrong direction. You have departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble. Now, verse 7 says that they should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law, and that he should be a messenger of the Lord. But verse 8 said, you have made many to stumble. That's why it's so very important. And why I feel as though it's important when we stand behind the pulpit that we not cause people to stumble. Amen. It's one thing to go wrong, but it's another thing to lead a crowd with you to go wrong. That wouldn't have been as damaging if Jim Jones had just went out there and killed himself like he did anyway, but he led over 900 people to do the same thing. Did the same thing. Just followed him, just blindly followed after him. That's one thing to go wrong, but it's another thing to lead multitudes down that same road. Spiritually speaking tonight, it's one thing for us to be wrong. Maybe in our doctrine, it's one thing for a church to be wrong and for the covenant or the doctrinal statement of the church to be wrong. It's another thing when they teach that to multitudes of hundreds of thousands, yea, millions of people. There's not any group that I despise, but I certainly despise some groups' doctrines. Amen. And that, if you're not careful, that gets you in trouble when you say that. But I despise some of the teachings of people around this country. I don't despise those people. I don't dislike those people. We've got to love those people, but we better despise and hate that damnable doctrine that sends people to hell. Amen. And anything that puts anything before the Lord is a damnable doctrine. Amen. I don't care if it's Mariolatry. I don't care if it's baptism. I don't care if it's works. It doesn't matter what it is. If it keeps people away from God, it's a damnable heresy, and we ought to expose it. Amen. We ought to hate it. Not the people, but the system. We ought to despise those things that take people in a wrong direction. And here these priests had caused many to stumble. Where? At the law. They'd stumbled at the Word of God. They had not the truth. And the Bible says here they were selfish. When a person no longer walks with the Lord, he becomes very insensitive to the will of God. When a person doesn't walk with God, he becomes insensitive to what God wants for him. He becomes very selfish in his life. And so we find that these people were wrong and were directing, and the corruption of the priesthood was spiritually and is also morally. It said they had corrupted the covenant. That word corrupt is a very broad term, and low moral standards brings low moral activity. When a person is low morally, his life is going to be low morally. When a person is sinful in his thinking, he'll be sinful in his deeds. When a person is sinful in his actions, he's sinful all the way through, and it brings and follows, and other people will follow after him. Have you ever wondered why that so many people follow those that are so openly in rebellion to God? I don't understand it, but I know the awesome responsibility of leadership. I know the awesome responsibility of teaching and training people right. Because as an authority figure, if you're a Sunday school teacher, you are an authority figure to those children. And when you tell them something, those children are going to believe that. Amen. Why? You're the authority there. Mom and Dad, we're the authority in our homes. And when we tell our children certain things are right and certain things are wrong, we better be sure that they're right and they're wrong. When we stand behind this pulpit and I proclaim and preach the Word of God, I better be sure that I'm right, because I'm the authority figure as far as the pastor and leading and guiding people in the Word of God. Amen. Folks, we better be careful. When we're in the classroom and in the schoolroom, we better be right, because we are the authority figure over those children. And we mold and teach and train them, and many times they take up our traits and our ways. Why? Because we are that authority. But morally, these folks had gone wrong. Personal behavior that opens door to satanic activity is dangerous, because Satan will be there to go right through the door. He'll go and he'll be there. When we neglect the Word of God, we love the sense of authority. We lose this sense of authority of God. We love ourselves. We love those things that we want, but we lose God's authority figure over us. And folks, the only one we better bow to is no one, nowhere, except Jesus Christ that's in heaven. There's some people, they bow toward Mecca 3 times a day. Some people bow toward different places. We better bow toward heaven. There's some folks, they think if it doesn't come down from headquarters, then it just can't be done. But I'm glad my headquarters is in heaven. We can follow the Word of God, and we can follow the message of the Lord. But our personal behavior has to be right, or we'll lose that sense of the authority of God. We'll become insensitive to the will of God. We'll be like wandering sheep going to and fro without a shepherd. But I'm glad the Bible tells me that He is the shepherd and bishop of our soul. He's the overseer. And we better stay right. So they departed from God's way. Secondly, they destroyed the faith of others. They caused many to stumble. We've already noticed that. We will either be a help or we'll be a hindrance. You have to be one or the other. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 14, I believe somewhere around verse number 7, that no man liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. Amen. We have influence. Every person in here, I don't care who you are, I don't care how old you are, I don't care how young you are, you have influence on somebody else. Amen. You older children in the home, you have influence over the younger children in the home. We have influence, and we better be the right kind of influence. No man lives to himself. We can't crawl over here in a corner and be a hermit, because we're going to influence somebody else maybe to follow us. We're to follow. We do follow what we see. And so we see here, they destroyed the faith of others. Terrible thing for that to happen. The Bible says, and I believe in the book of Matthew, that Jesus called the Pharisees, He called them blind guides. We get the term the blind leading the blind from that. Blind guides. Well, how can someone that's blind lead me? Well, they can, but that's what was going on in Israel. That'd be just like Brother Steve Allen taking me somewhere he'd never been. Be a blind leading, blind guides. Folks, as leadership and as people of God, we better make sure that we do not destroy the faith of others, but that we build up that faith and we help people and show them what thus saith the Lord. Sure, they're going to have more trouble maybe than we do in certain areas, but we that are adults, we that are mature, we're to go and to help them in the work of God and to show them that God loves them and that they can do what God wants them to do. There are many levels, I guess we would call it, of spirituality. The Bible talks about mature Christians. The Bible talks about adult. Perfect, that word perfect means mature. The Bible talks about babes in Christ. There's different levels of where we are. But the Bible says we that are spiritual. We that are spiritual. So, oh, I'm not spiritual. That doesn't necessarily mean you're higher than someone else, but it means that you've got some understanding of the Word of God. We that are spiritual, we're to teach those children. We're to teach those babes in Christ. We're to show them what the Lord wants. We're to guide them. We're not to make them stumble, but we're to help them along the way. And Satan, he'll put a lot of snares. He'll put a lot of traps. Just like Brother Ben was talking about his son, there'll be a lot of snares and traps to that young man. But I'm glad, according to his testimony, there's a church there that's going to try to help him, try to guide him through that. And folks, every one of us have to have somebody help us every once in a while. Every once in a while, there's somebody that has to help us through a maze. Satan's put snares out there, and we may not see them, but somebody else does. And they'll say, come on, let me help you through this. You ever had a difficult time? And somebody said, well, I'll pray with you and help you get through that. That's helping. That's going through that. That's guiding. That's not making people to stumble. It's a terrible thing to be walking and stumble. Saw a man get out of the elevator today. I thought he was going to fall flat on his face. And there wasn't a thing there for him to stumble over, but he stumbled. And he said, excuse me. I said, you didn't touch me. I wasn't even that near. He thought he was, though. He hung his foot somewhere, some way, and he stumbled. It's a terrible thing to stumble. But spiritually speaking, it's far more terrible. Because there are some people that stumble, and there's nobody there to help them back up. But we that are spiritual, we that are priests, we that are saved, we're to help them. We're not to stumble, but to grow in the grace of the Lord. And then not only did they depart from God's way, not only did they destroy the faith of others, but they deviated for material gain. And you can put it down. If a fellow won't do anything except for money, just mark him off. Just forget about him. I've never had anybody come anywhere I was ever pastor, and I call them and say, we need you, we'd like to have you come for a revival. I've never had anybody do this, and I thank God for that. But if they do, I've never had anybody say, how much will you pay? How much do you pay your evangelist? That guy, he wouldn't get anything from me. The work of the Lord is not for material gain. It's for the grace and the goodness of God on the lives of people. Here we find in verse number 9 that they were partial in the law. And that just simply means they made a difference in judgment, maybe even for material gain. In 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 3, the Bible says that there are those that will make merchandise of you. There are some folks that literally will make merchandise of you. They'll drain you. They'll take you for everything you've got. There's people that will do anything and everything to get you to send them $25 or $50. We've had it all from buying a brick to something else. Any and every way in the world to get folks drained, making merchandise. People being promised. I heard the other day, somebody said, send me $5 and I'll pray over your letter. You put a glass of water on your radio, you better hope that thing don't fall off. And you pray over that water and then you drink and it'll take care of you inside and you'll be healed. That's a bunch of, you know what he's doing, making merchandise of you. And there's a lot of gullible people that are stumbling over that. Yes, sir. And the Bible tells us that we are not to make merchandise, and we are not to be merchandise for those hirelings. And that's all they are. The Bible calls them hirelings. They just do it for hire. They just do it for money. If we do what we do for money, then we ought to get out of it and forget it. This Bible, the Bible very clearly tells us that we are not to deviate from the Word of God just in order to get gain. And I've heard of men saying, well, I've changed my message a little bit because so-and-so out there, they're good givers. Well, what does that matter? This book tells us to preach it one way, and that's the only way. If that fellow's so good, he won't get mad at you anyway. He'll thank you for being truthful with him, being honest with him. So they deviated. There's the corruption of the priesthood. Now we go back to verse 1 and 3. You thought I'd left those out. Thought I'd forgotten about verses 1 through 3. But we're going to end with the first. We'll end up with the first three verses. And this is the curse on a bad priesthood. We've seen already these things on the Word of God. We've seen the covenant of the priesthood. We've seen the corruption of the priesthood. Now we see the curse on a bad priesthood. Says, if you will not hear and you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Now here God says that he would curse their blessings. What a change that is. If we was to go back tonight to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 23 and also in the book of Numbers chapter 22, you'll find that a man by the name of Balaam. And he did that for hire. He was a hireling. And he was hired by the enemy to put a curse upon the people of Israel. But the Bible says that God turned his curse into a blessing. God wouldn't let him curse. Every time he opened his mouth, he'd spew out a blessing upon Israel. And that fellow that hired him said, "Man, I didn't want you to do that. I want you to curse them." But he couldn't do it. God turned his cursings into a blessing. But now here we find that God turns their blessings into a curse. God turns it around. God changes it. And he curses the priesthood. The removal of God's blessing. The removal of God's love and God's direction and God's power and God's authority. The removal of the real truth of God's word upon the priest was over with. God said, "I've cursed you with a curse." Their relationship was affected. He says, I'll curse you. No longer was the relation like it ought to be. Then he says, not only that, but I'll curse your seed. I'll curse your family. That's why it's an important thing if we are not careful that we'll cause troubles on our generations after us. The Bible says to the third and fourth generation, God will bring judgment upon a people. I'd hate to think that my grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren would pay for something that I did. But God says he brings it to the third and fourth generation. And so he says here, then verse number 3, he says, "Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and I'll spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it." Here we find they were cursed with a curse. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 33 says, "The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just." I'd rather have the blessings of God. I'd rather have the smile of God. I'd rather have the good fortune of God from the Lord than to have one portion of the curse of God, because the curse of God is reserved for the wicked. And he says, "I've cursed you." We find the revelation of their corruption in verse number 9. It's going to be revealed to everyone. It's going to be open and made public. He says here, terrible thing that we read. He says, that he will spread dung upon their faces. The waste of the animals of their feast. God said, "I'll spread it on your face." And he said, "Then you'll go out of the city with that." And God says, what he's saying there is that the whole world's going to know what I've done. And folks, when leaders go bad, the whole world knows what happens. It doesn't matter to me. I was not, am not, was never a follower of Jim Baker, but we've suffered results from what he's done. Amen. Jimmy Swaggart and all that other crowd, we may not have agreed with them, but we suffer that because we're all grouped together as Christians. Amen. And all of a sudden, those ministries that are good are suffering because people don't trust anybody anymore. Amen. Just because some leader that was wicked to begin with went bad. Now, if that will happen to someone that's wrong, spiritually, doctrinally, think what it will do, and think what it does when somebody that is right with God, I mean, everything's right, his doctrine's straight, he's straight, everything's right, and all of a sudden he falls. You know what that does? That devastates people. That's what happens when leaders go bad. And it's not beyond any of us. The Bible said, "Take heed lest ye also fall." Whatever sin that you might want to think of, that you've heard about or that has been committed, did you know that you are a prime candidate for that sin? All of us are. And we better not think too highly of ourselves. Because when we do and pride rises up in front of us, we're on our way out. Amen. We're on our way to destruction. So to maintain the favor and the blessings of God upon our lives, we must be hearers of the Word of God. We must do what it says. We must commit ourselves, and everything that we do must be from the heart. There's where we've missed it. We've done so many things for so long that we've forgotten what it means to have a heartfelt religion. And I use that term very loosely. We've forgotten what it means to do something just because we know we ought to. We've forgotten to have a heart for the work of God. because we've done it so long, just out of habit. To give glory to my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. What is it? We have to lay it to heart. We have to do it right. When leaders go bad, oh, it's a terrible thing. It brought about a 400-year silence. God, for 400 years after Malachi went off the scene, after he wrote his book, 400 years, God didn't say another word to Israel. You know why? Because leaders went bad. They rejected God's way, they rejected God's word, and they turned away from God's work. And if that will happen to them, it also can happen to us. Amen. May we always ever stay true to the word of the Lord, being right with Him, I being in the way. Oh, may we stay in the way of the Lord. If we'll do that, then I believe God will bless according to His word. Let's stand tonight.